Heavenly Father, take my spoken word, use it to reveal your written word, that we may behold your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as I said in the introduction to the service, we're going to continue with looking at Abraham and this passage, which is all about his sojourn down to Egypt, as it's called. I'd like Sandra to have gone on another couple of verses, actually, but never mind, I'll get to that later. I wonder what the high points of your life has been. Can you think of some of them now? A family memory, perhaps? Graduating from university, those of us that did. Getting married. Having your first child. Becoming a Christian. After experiencing great moments like these, what do you expect? If you're like most people, you expect celebration and joy and peace. Unfortunately, in life, things don't always work out that way. After a high point, you should guess that either the devil will attack you, or the Lord will test you, or both. Because the only way you can grow in your faith is when God uses the tough times to build the strength of your faith and keep you from trusting in something other than his word. In our reading from Genesis, we find that Abraham, although a man of faith, was also at times a man of failure. And we should learn that any man or woman, regardless of his or her spirituality, is capable of faltering in the faith. However, we will also find hope that God loves to restore people to himself. For when our faith fails, God doesn't. And I want to look at three things from this reading and see what we can learn from them. I think there are three things that will help us as we go through life. The first is that you can expect your faith to be tested. Expect your faith to be tested. The Bible teaches us that life of faith is full of obstacles. Abraham himself has experienced several tests. He was called to leave his hometown and travel over two-thirds of the known world to nowhere he knew. His wife was barren. And when he got to the land that God had promised him, it was occupied already. And now here comes another challenge. We hear, now there was a famine in the land. So Abraham went down to Egypt to stay there, for the famine was severe in the land. Can you imagine what was going through Abraham's mind? I came all the way down here for this. I thought Canaan was to be a land of blessings. Does this sound familiar to you? How many times have you said to yourselves, I wonder, God, I deserve better than this. I've tried to serve you and live for you, and this is the thanks I get. Well, thanks very much. Now, Abraham wasn't wrong for being worried about the famine or feeding his family. He was wrong for failing to trust God to provide his needs. Abraham acted too hastily. In alarm, he thought, I've got to do something. I'll have to go to Egypt. There's likely to be more food there. And off he went. See, Abraham's going to Egypt was more of a reflection of his own, a return, if you like, to his own devices. He didn't deny God. He simply forgot him. And aren't we so much like Abraham? Trials come and we automatically go into survival mode, don't we? We scheme. We run through all the what-ifs. We shore up our position and we pile up the sandbags. And God? Oh, yes. We ask him to bless our ways. Yet faith means trusting God for the big things as well as the little things. This is where we often fail. we trust God for our eternal salvation, and then we worry about the struggles we're going through and the decisions we have to make. So expect your faith to be challenged. Secondly, face your fears with faith. When you and I fail to pass faith tests, God has a tendency to take us to school again and give us additional quizzes. Abraham was faced with yet another test. When he came near to Egypt, I'm quoting, when he came near to Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me. But they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on account of you." Now, that might seem a very strange thing for Abraham to say, but you have to remember the Egyptians of the time. They thought nothing of taking someone else's wife if they fancied her, but they did do the decent thing and kill the husband first. So Abraham had every reason to be perhaps slightly worried. His intent was clear, to deceive, and he was trusting in his deception to protect him instead of trusting in the Lord. Abraham failed to fear God. He was more afraid of the Egyptians than he was of God. Can you relate to this sort of struggle, I wonder? In your daily lives, for example, are you afraid to talk to your friends about Christ because they may laugh at you, or even worse, reject you? Are you constantly seeking to please people and win their approval? Do you live in fear, perhaps of your boss firing you or these sorts of things? All these thoughts are natural and in our flesh. But God is not calling us to a natural life, but to a supernatural life. He's given us the power to live above our circumstances. And of course, there are other problems with Abraham's lying and lessons we can learn. After lying once, it becomes easier to do it the next time. You'll find if you read on in Genesis that Abraham later tried to pull the same stunt again with Abimelech. Get as far as Genesis 20 and look it up. And as if that wasn't bad enough, his lies influenced others. He influenced his own son, Isaac, who did exactly the same thing again with Abimelech and his wife Rebekah. And lying, of course, brings a reproach to the name of God. And in this story of Abraham, isn't it sad that a pagan king has to rebuke Abraham for his deception and lack of faith in God? The comedian in America, George Burns, you may remember him, he lived to be 101, was one of the most popular people on television over the 50s and 60s and so on. He said the key to his success was first learning honesty. Once he could fake that, he could get away with anything. We laugh at this, and you just did. But we can all acknowledge the truth that seems to be resident in this comment. God says lying's not an appropriate response for the believer. Are you careful, I wonder? Are we all careful to tell the truth to the best of our ability? And the third point from this lesson is to return to a life of faith. The great news of the Bible here is that there's life after failure. Now that God has delivered Abraham from this mess, how does he respond? And this is the bit I was hoping that Sandra would read further, so I'll read for you. It says, "So Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord." We've no clue at all in the reading how long Abraham remained in Egypt. that no altars were built in Egypt to our knowledge, nor are we told that Abraham ever called on the name of the Lord there. But finally, he does the right thing. Abraham goes back to Canaan. He goes back to Bethel, the house of God. He goes back to the altar. Hooray! There's life after the mess. Like Abraham, when we lapse in faith, we must return again to the point of our departure from God if we want once again to restore that joy of communion that we once knew. Abraham today is remembered as a man of faith, and it's in part because he returned, quote, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning. If you've disobeyed, and God is disciplining you, go back to the place where you left him and make things right. The victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. It's not an excuse for sin, but it's an encouragement for repentance. If Abraham had stayed in Canaan when the famine came, his faith would have grown. He would have seen the Lord provide for him. And since he didn't stay in Canaan, that same faith that could have been a means of growth actually took him away from God, led to sin, and eventually brought humiliation. What an important step it would be if we could learn that lesson about life. Instead of complaining, we would trust God. Instead of saying, why has God let this happen to me? Doesn't he care? Why has God abandoned me? We could say, here's another opportunity for me to trust in God. I wonder what wonderful things he's going to do for me this time. It's not always easy to do that. It sometimes takes more grace to stay in Canaan than to get there. But it's what God wants. He doesn't want our way to be easy, because if it's easy, we won't grow. He arranges the steps of faith in an upward direction so that our spiritual muscles will grow strong and we can eventually scale the heights of great blessing. Amen.